We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Ayo, I am Jeff Nowak, sitting alongside Charlie Long, Cullen Steele behind the glass, filling in for Steve Geller and Mike Dettillier. We got a twofer. We're taking you
How about that?
Till 8 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. I would like to say we have a jam-packed show filled with guests, but we are having some phone line issues, so we're going to try to get to them. I'm not going to try to sell you a bill of goods. It's not going to happen. So I'll tell you about the guests when we know they're going to come on. For now, we're going to go through some summer league action. The Pelicans are playing as we speak. You know, it's summer league. I can confirm. Also talk a little bit about Lamar Brown. He committed to LSU today, top recruit in Louisiana. So Brian Kelly, he's not from the boot. He's got a weird accent, but he's still getting the boot done. How do you feel about that?
Starting off with Lamar?
Let's talk about Lamar. We can talk about Pelicans all night.
It's good. I mean, via the crystal ball of 247 for basically the past week, it's had like 75% for A&M, and it was kind of leading A&M. But over the last week or so, LSU really put on the full court press for Lamar Brown. And Mike had made a great point about this when we were speaking with Renee Nadeau earlier on the week about it, that there's a lot of pressure for these really top-ranked recruits to stay in-state. And with Lamar Brown being the number one-ranked defensive lineman in the country, the number one-ranked Louisiana recruit, the number seven-ranked national recruit, there was some pressure on him to stay in Louisiana and go to LSU. And listen, as far as the prospect goes, Mike has talked about it as well, a guy that plays on both sides of the line of scrimmage. He's got great size at 6'4", 285 pounds, but someone that wants to play defensive end once he gets to the college level. So, you know, we'll see what the plan is for him. I imagine that they're going to plop him on the defensive line and let him go to work and just eat up whatever he's going up against on the offensive front. But a very, very talented kid out of U-High, staying right in the backyard in Baton Rouge, going to LSU. It's very exciting.
Yeah, you know, Brian Kelly, it's an interesting thing because you're talking about a guy who I know for a fact does not want to build his team through the transfer portal. That said, he has the number one transfer portal class in the 2025 season. But at his core, he wants to build his team through recruiting, through protecting in-state prospects. And, you know, I always go back to 2019 because 2019 was the best singular college football season I have ever witnessed. And I was thinking about it today. Like, I remember at the time, it was like, well, is Joe Burrow that good, or is it really just Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are that good? Or is Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase that good, or is it just because they're playing with Joe Burrow?
It's a little bit of both.
You know, as it turned out, they all were that good, and that's when you have this ultimate season. And, you know, one of those guys was a transfer in Joe Burrow. The other two guys were homegrown talents, New Orleans, St. Rose, and you protected those guys. You won the transfer portal, and that's how you built that team. And, you know, I will always remember Ed Orgeron for being not the greatest head coach in the world, but the ultimate recruiter. And part of that is convincing, especially in Louisiana, where you have the homegrown talent. That's not true of everywhere. But when you can get those guys to stay home and then you can develop them and build with those guys, that's how you create that LSU team that dominates and everyone remembers.
Yeah, putting the fence posts around the boot for sure. And once again, when the other team that's up for them is Texas A&M in the SEC, you don't want to lose them to an interconference squad as well that you're going to have to play once a year. So now he's on your squad, and, you know, we'll see what happens once it gets down to signing day in December and make sure that he signs the piece of paper that's put in front of him, because LSU fans, you don't have to look too far to remember Bryce Underwood, the five-star quarterback that signed and then flipped over to Michigan ahead of signing day. So we'll see what happens. Lamar Brown himself has posted on his Twitter page that he is 100% committed to LSU, that he wants to play in Death Valley, all the good stuff. He's saying all the right things, and I think LSU fans should obviously be excited. This five-star blue-chip prospect out of their high school recruits. And to your point about Brian Kelly has said multiple times that he wants to build through the high school ranks and then kind of supplement the roster through the transfer portal. And that's been kind of the case over the last few years. I think he's been a little bit more aggressive in the portal ahead of this offseason. He's added a ton of pieces, especially on the defensive line and the wide receiver room, you know, offensive line as well, because you lose four offensive linemen this past offseason. So, you know, he did a little bit more in the portal than I think he's ever really done so far at LSU. But when you're talking about the kind of backbone of a program, I think that that's still Kelly's, you know, idea of building it through the high school ranks and then just using the portal to fill in the hole, so to speak.
You've got to do both.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Like, that's the thing. I think Brian Kelly would love it if he didn't have to spend so much time working through the transfer portal. But at the end of the day, you have to do both, right?
Yeah.
But you also can't just build your team through the transfer portal. Like, you can't build your team through NIL either. Like, you have to get people who want to be in your program. And I think that's why, you know, when you have a kid playing at U High who wants to go to LSU, keeping him there is important.
Yes.
Especially when he's a prospect of that caliber. I don't know. Like, I look at this team and I look at how they can succeed in the SEC and compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias. And landing players like this is how you do that. I do think, you know, when you're talking about a guy who's like, oh, he's an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, he's a defensive lineman, in my opinion.
And he wants to play defensive line.
Like, I just don't think, I don't think it's ever going to be, oh, you can play both sides. You're going to be better at one or the other. And if you were a elite blue chip tackle prospect, they would not be questioning whether you're going to stay on that side of the ball.
And here's the thing about LSU specifically with the Kevin Peoples, the edge rushers coach, was able to get the most out of Braden Swinson and Savion Jones. And if you put those two next to each other, they are completely different builds. As far as Savion was a lot bigger, you know, Braden Swinson was more kind of had a slighter build, but not, he still had the strength to be a really strong edge rusher in the SEC. But the fact that Kevin Peoples was able to take two different builds as far as defensive end and get the most out of each player, I mean, if you're talking about Lamar Brown, once again, a very large human being coming into the program, you can imagine that Kevin Peoples will be able to get the best out of him.
Yeah, no doubt. And the only other major thing going on today, Summer League.
Yeah,
Pelicans playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, or whatever version of the Minnesota Timberwolves you want to call it. They're currently down 88-79 with 3:55 to go. You know, we'll talk a lot about this as we go. You know, one of the things that I always look for in Summer League is you want your lottery picks to show up and just look way better than everyone else. And to this point, that's what you see out of Jeremiah Fears, in my opinion. You see a guy out there, like, if you didn't know who on the floor was a lottery pick, like, if you just took all the numbers and the names off the jerseys, you would watch him, the way he moves around, the way he controls the offense. I also have Derek Queen out there right now in number 22. He just looks like a pro player playing with a bunch of guys who are going to be on rosters in Europe next year.
Which is exactly what you want to see. As far as Jeremiah Fears goes, I've been impressed with his summer league debut. And, you know, we'll talk about the numbers when they're finalized. ESPN has been slacking on that. Thank God we have NBA.com with the official numbers as far as what these players have been doing. Fierce has, and as we're speaking, he just has a turnover and dribbles off his foot. But he's been able to get into the paint at will in this game. Jeff, he just blows by people. And there's been a couple different missed threes. That's summer league. Summer league is a very funny game to watch because we were very highly anticipating it. And then you get to it, it's like, oh, you know, this
isn't good basketball.
It's like 2 hours of like some guys that are going to play in the G League, some guys that are going to play overseas, as you mentioned. And then like the real highlight players, the top lottery picks and the first round gems that teams get that will, you know, be NBA contributors right off the bat. Jeremiah Fierce looks like he could be one. Now, Derek Queen's been a little bit quieter, but at the same time, we've talked about this before, Jeff. The summer league game is kind of geared towards guard play.
Sure.
Where
it's wide open.
You hand the ball to your best young guard, and you let him go to work. And to Fierce's credit, that's what he's been doing so far. And we'll share the finalized stats as we get to him. But he shot pretty well from the field. The thing that has stood out to me, the amount of fouls that he's drawn so far, because people just can't stay in front of him as he's trying to get to the rim, and he's trying to get into the paint, and he's been doing that at will throughout the course of this game. Also, you know, some of the passes that he's ripped. I know Derek Queen talked about it in practice that he can just rope a ball to a three-point shooter. And there's been a couple misses from three. So maybe the assist number won't be as impressive as it probably should be based off some of the passes that Jeremiah Fierce is throwing. So I've been impressed with him so far. Derek Queen's been a little bit more quiet. There was this one play that we'll obviously highlight, and we'll talk about, you know, the play of multiple players on this floor throughout the course of the show. Jeremiah Fierce has worked really well with Eve Misi in this game. In the pick and roll game specifically, he threw up a lob to Eve that he just, I mean, threw down a thunderous dunk. And that's kind of what you want to see early on, is getting to see the young point guard work with a legitimate NBA big man and see what he can do with them in the pick and roll game. And so far, so good for Jeremiah Fierce.
No doubt. And, you know, one of the things I appreciated seeing, you know, we talked to Kevin Henry, who's the color analyst for Oklahoma basketball, asked him, okay, what does he need to improve on? It's the three-point shot. And I think it's, you know, young players, I don't need to see them shoot a great percentage. I just need to see them confident and taking shots in phase, right? Taking good shots.
Sure.
And one of the first things Jeremiah did today was just confidently pull up, knock down a three. And it's tough for a point guard, for a true kind of pass first point guard, which I would consider Jeremiah to be. He's a facilitator. He is not a scoring guard per se. Like, he's not looking to score when he gets the ball. Knowing when to step into a shot, to own that shot, is important. And I like the confidence in that shot. And for him to kind of reach that point, he's going to have to kind of develop that part of his game, because it's a lot more. I look at a young Rondo. And the way you defended Rondo was you just sagged off him. You said, we want him to shoot that. And it kind of gummed up the works there in such a way that it took a while before they, you know, the Celtics obviously won a title in his rookie season, but, you know, it wasn't until like year 4 or 5 that he kind of reached his peak form.
So a couple things here with Jeremiah Fierce as far as, you know, his shooting so far, he's 3 of 9, 1 of 4 from three. So he hits the first three that he takes, and then he had some issues, you know, with the 3-point attempts later on. He hasn't hit one since that early on, that first shot. But there was one 3-point attempt that he made where he was just blocked. And then, you know, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Once again, that number is probably a little bit lower than it should be. And 2 steals on top of that as well. Now, the 7 turnovers is definitely what's a little bit concerning here with Jeremiah Fierce. But outside of that, a very solid summer league debut.
While we're waiting, I do want to send out a congratulations here to Jay Romig, long tenured do-it-all guy for the Saints. Became a new grandfather. Both Brandy, the mom, and Mason J. Keller are healthy. 7 pounds, 1 ounce, 21 inches. Just wanted to say, hey, congratulations. We're all thinking about you. Jay Romig, been with the Saints forever. So always a good day when you become a granddad. But, you know, with that in mind, we're gonna hit the break here. We're going to come back on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, taking you up till 8 p.m. Let's do it. Rolling back in on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, taking you up till 8 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Just looked up at ESPN. They were showing Lamar Brown, and yes, he was wearing a LSU baseball.
The championship gold.
Yes, the championship gold. He also had an oversized LSU hat. It wasn't one of those kind of comically big hats that is actually small around your head, which is a thing that you'll see. I think Brian Robinson was one of the first guys to wear that, the Washington Commanders running back. It was just a gigantic hat to fit over his very big hair.
Yeah, poofy hair.
Yeah, because it was, I would say it was a fitted hat. It was just fitted in such a way that, you know, you it would fit, you know, like a giant from Harry Potter.
So for what it's worth, I said that he was the number one ranked recruit in Louisiana, the number one ranked defensive line recruit in the country, which is correct. I said he was number seven, but that was via 247. Via ESPN, he's the number one overall ranked prospect in the country.
Yeah, it's a good get.
So, yeah, it's very, very exciting for LSU fans, and we'll talk more about him later on in the show. The Summer League is almost done here as far as the Pelicans game against Minnesota. It's kind of dragging out here towards the end, Jeff. Like, the first...
They're playing it out.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's a six-point game right now. It's 94-88 for Minnesota.
They're fouling and everything.
A couple moments down the stretch here that you're like, oh, that's nice. You like to see that. Derek Queen just hoists up a three, and it goes in. And he looked like Jokic with that three.
Corey Brewer's not messing around.
It's the same type of shot, right?
Yeah.
He has like kind of a...
Yeah, that quick release.
A funky-looking shot for a big man, but it went in. It looked really pretty. It's the only three that he's taken in this game. He's 5-for-9, 1-for-1 from three, 13 points in this matchup. And then Jeremiah Fierce that we just saw right before. It was like the last possession before Minnesota just called a timeout. There's 26 seconds left to go in this game. Fierce gets into the paint, throws up a nice shot, and it goes in. So he's now 4-of-11 on the matchup.
He just has so much control.
Like, yes.
He controls his body so well. He reminds me a little bit of Kyrie Irving. Like, I don't think he has the bag, the handle of a Kyrie Irving, but the way Kyrie was always able to, you know, just get into traffic, kind of feel the contact, fade away just enough, and then use glass. Like, that's just a, you know, a young Russell Westbrook comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, even Shea does that as well as anybody in the NBA, is just finds angles, use the glass. And I just, like, I don't know if the, like, CJ McCollum was always kind of a pull-up shooter. He wasn't really a glass guy. Like, he did have a good float game, but no, I think Pelicans fans, when they start to see Jeremiah in action, are really going to enjoy watching him play. And my biggest question is, do you have him out there as your point guard, your primary point guard, for long stretches early in his rookie season? Because I like Jordan Poole as a scorer. I don't like Jordan Poole as my lead guard. The same way I didn't like CJ McCollum as my lead guard. Like, Jordan Poole is a guy who is at his best when he's just kind of, you know, the safety's off. He's just firing. You know, and I don't know if it's easy for a guy like that to flip that switch and become that point guard. And you just end up with a lot of ISO possessions, a lot of stuck ball possessions. Whereas I think he and Jordan Poole, or he and Jeremiah Fears, will play well together. It's just a question of whether you trust the rookie. And Willie Green has never been a guy who wants to give a huge role to a rookie player.
Yeah, Fears just gets stuffed on a drive to the hoop by Joan Berenger, the French prospect that the Timberwolves took in the first round this past draft. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Willie decides to do with this roster. I kind of agree with you about Jordan Poole. He's a combo guard, right? Like, he's more of a two than he is a one. But given the Pelicans roster, he may have to play the one right off the bat because you're not...
Well, because DeJounte Murray is out with an injury.
Exactly.
And that's the weird thing. So if... If you do play Jeremiah like as a starter right away and you give him significant minutes and he delivers and then DeJounte comes back midseason, where does that leave you? It's such a weird situation, you know, and I think that would be a good position to be in if he's playing so well that you don't even want to go back to DeJounte, but I don't know. It's going to be a big question. I don't want to see Jordan Poole playing the point guard spot.
So there's also the point Zion part of this that, you know, the Pelicans can utilize as well. And it will be kind of interesting to see because you want to have Herb and Trey on the floor at the same time as well. You know, Poole can have that role as the combo guard that maybe plays the quote-unquote one, but he's not being asked to handle the ball every time down the floor because you have Zion and what he can do as well. So I don't think if you're looking ahead to the regular season that – you know, if you had to ask me right now how many minutes per game Jeremiah Fears is going to get, I don't think it's going to be a ton, right off the bat, at least. And maybe, you know, he really shows up in training camp and he just takes the coach's breaths away, right? And he's just fantastic early on in his career. And he gets more minutes than I'm anticipating. You know, in my general opinion, and I don't know if you agree with me here, Jeff, but if you're looking at the depth chart with the Pelicans, like, he's probably going to be, at least starting off the bat, the third point guard on the list. Meanwhile, Derek Queen
behind
Jordan Poole
and
behind Jose Alvarado.
Alvarado, okay. Who is at the Summer League.
Correct. He's there alongside Joe Dumars, Troy Weaver. Sure. We also saw Willie Green is there, too. So a bunch of folks there watching and supporting the Pelicans in their first Summer League matchup in Vegas. But meanwhile, with Derek Queen, if you're looking at the Pelicans depth chart, I think right off the bat, he's the backup forward to Zion. I don't think – maybe, like, the one that could have a thing to say about that is Carlo Mackovich. If you want him to play at the
back
four.
Four?
Yeah.
You want Carlo at the four?
He's a four or a five. He played. There were two big lineups with him and Misi last year.
I don't want to play big lineups. I don't know. I'm not a big lineup guy. I'm more of the positionless. I think that's how you win. You know, you just like did the Thunder have these big lineups? Like, if you're going to play a big lineup, you
need. They had
Chet
Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein.
But if you're going to play a big lineup, that big lineup needs to be stretchy, right? Like, you need a guy like a Chet or even a Porzingis, like a guy that is going to stretch everything out. I don't want a big lineup that's just two bigs, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, I get it. Like, I think that Derek Queen is your backup four, though, right off the bat. And so he's going to be getting upwards of 20 minutes a game in game one, right? That's what you're anticipating, I think, with him. Meanwhile, Fierce is a little bit more of – and that's also, to Queen's point, he's bigger. He's older than Fierce. Fierce is only 18. Derek Queen's 20 already, despite them both being one and done in college. An older prospect, so sure. I think he's more NBA ready, with Fears being kind of the more developmental play, but so far so good for Jeremiah Fears. I know that, once again, the turnovers have been an issue. The turnovers were an issue in college too. If you're looking at the detractions of Jeremiah Fears, it's the three-point shooting, the turnovers, and then the defensive play, because he's kind of slight of build. He's only 6'2.5" and 180 pounds, and now when you put the shoes on, he's closer to 6'3.5", 6'4", but at the same time, you know, there's reasons that folks were a little bit down on him in the pre-draft process. Some scouts thought that he could go top five. Some scouts thought maybe he should go later in the lottery. Ultimately, he falls to the Pels at 7, and we'll see what he can do.
And I assure you that the organizers of the Summer League are annoyed at the Pelicans right now, because for some reason, this game is still going on. There was 30 seconds left like 15 minutes ago.
Right.
There is now 9.1 seconds left. They are down by 7.
Yeah, it's not even like a one-possession game.
Let the game end. but no, I mean, there's going to be a lot to talk about with this Pelicans team. Hopefully it's more fun. Like, I think that was my problem with the second half of last season, is it's not that you can't, you know, watch a bad team. It was just, they weren't even an entertaining bad team. They were just a boring bad team with players that you knew weren't going to be a part of the picture, right? Other than even Misi and, you know, maybe a couple of these other guys, it was like, oh, okay, this is all going to change. One of my big questions, and we'll see how it goes, is just how heavy-handed is Joe Dumars going to be with any edicts given to the coaching staff of, like, you got to play these guys, right? Because like, Trey Murphy barely played his rookie season.
Right.
You know, like, some of these guys, like, Jordan Hawkins barely played his rookie season. And I think David Griffin was a little bit more accepting of, okay, Willie's going to do things his way. Is that how Joe Dumars is going to be? Or is he going to be like, hey, we need to figure out what we have in these guys? And he's been aggressive going after a Derek Queen. Well, we'll talk more about the trade. I hated the trade. I liked the player. I hated the trade. And I don't know. If you're going to be that aggressive and go up and get that guy, you expect him to play.
Right. And we got a final here, Jeff, from Vegas, Minnesota, 98, New Orleans, 91. In a final 30 seconds, that took about 10 minutes. So, but it's over, and the Pelicans start 0-1 in Vegas, but you did see some good things from Queen. You saw some good things from Eve Misi in his time.
Eve looked good.
Eve had this block of Behringer that was disgusting, and they called it a foul. And, like, that was a clean block. I don't know why they called that a foul, other than Behringer fell on the ground and looked hurt afterwards. But yeah. Eve Misi put a punish on that block.
He got a foul for embarrassing him.
Unfortunately, he didn't get a block on the stat sheet, but that's a block in my heart. Good on you.
Yeah, he looks like he's bulked up a little bit. We'll have to see.
14 rebounds in this game.
Yeah, he had 14 rebounds?
14 rebounds.
In how many minutes?
In 25 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about that. We're also going to get into the Saints, talk a little more about LSU, their recruiting class, all that good stuff. Hopefully we can get a phone line working. We'll see. We'll see. Fingers crossed. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Charlie Long. Colin Steele hitting all the buttons and the knobs and all the important things to make us sound good. Always appreciate you back there. Cullen. This is Sports Talk. Keep it locked on WWL.
Yeah, so we already talked about Lamar Brown, the big one from today, but our guy Zach Nagy over at Sports Illustrated is this as well, that LSU has landed a commitment from the number 5 edge out of Florida, D'Anthony Lafayette. Zach adds, the Sunshine State native pledges to Brian Kelly and co. with the program remaining hot on the recruiting trail. LSU now has the number 1 and the number 5 edge in Florida committed to the program. So, like we talked about with Kevin Peoples, building up that defensive end room, you know, they went out and brought in a ton of transfers this offseason to kind of bolster the edge rusher room after losing Braden Swinson and Savion Jones, but kind of building for the future in that spot, getting all these really, really talented young defensive linemen for the class of 2026 and beyond.
Are you disappointed that the Cajuns missed out on Mr. Lafayette?
Yeah, that would have been a good fit, wouldn't it?
No, I'm a little on the nose.
I'm happy with Walker Howard and what we got going on there with Coach Dez and the program. So, yeah, it would have been a good fit by the name, but otherwise, I'm all right.
Be like LSU missing out on a guy named Baton Rouge, but all right. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, this is WWL. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. We're going to try to get some of these technical issues ironed out. No promises, though. We'll figure it out. Stick around on WWL. All right, kicking off hour two here on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Colin Steele, taking you up till 8 p.m. I know we had some technical issues that last hour in one of those segments. Couldn't really hear all that well, so I figured we could just do it again, right? Okay. I mean, only we know what was said, it seems like, and maybe some people on the Odyssey app, which I think was a little clearer. So if you're listening on the Odyssey app and you're hearing the same thing again, I do apologize, but I do want to get into it because I think it's important, right? We were talking a lot about Joe Dumars, Willie Green, the young players, Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen is a rhyme there that I did not intend, but just to kind of go through the stats, so both rookies, both first-round rookies, ended up with 7 turnovers today, which is not ideal, but you're talking about young players who are being asked to do a lot, so you feel okay about it. Micah Peavy, who was the other draft pick, ended up with a minus 20, plus minus. He had 11 points. Derek Queen, 13 points, 10 rebounds. So a solid game. I think he had some struggle points. 8 of those rebounds were defensive rebounds. Jeremiah Fears ended up with 14 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Again, those 7 turnovers. He had 6 fouls. Apparently, you can just foul until you don't want to anymore in summer league.
Is there a 10 foul limit in the summer league, or
something,
is it unlimited?
Because Micah Peavy had 7 personal fouls.
I'm just thinking because I think Kasper Shakochonis had like a game where he had 8 or something, and you don't foul out in the summer league. I'm pretty sure
that would kind of defeat the purpose of summer league, right?
Let me double check. It's either that there's a 10 foul limit, or that there's like no foul limit.
Yeah, it's a little confusing because you look at the stat line and you see more fouls than points for guys. But either way, so, you know, some fits and starts, some young guys kind of figuring it out. But, you know, I don't have any concern about the players. I think they landed the right players in the draft. I think Jeremiah Fears is going to be a strong lead guard. We'll have to see how much run he gets across from Jordan Poole, or if Jordan Poole is that lead guard. I think you would rather have Jordan Poole be the two guard, be the kind of scorer, the CJ McCollum role that you no longer have. And the Pelicans were at their best when you did not have CJ McCollum as your primary ball handler.
Well, let's stay on that real quick, because I've talked about this before. The divide for NBA fans on Jordan Poole is pretty large, because I think it's maybe moved a little bit towards the negative direction over the past 2 years.
I would
with the
say
Wizards.
It's moved a lot of it. Yeah.
But there's still a divide. There's still some people that think he's still very young. He's 26 years old, that he can still be that type of guy that he was as the third best player on a championship team. Then there are the others that think that he's the empty calories, empty stats type of guy where he'll put up good numbers, but kind of on losing teams.
He's Jamal Crawford to me. You know, he's a guy that if he was my sixth man, I would love it. If he's my top scorer, my top scoring option in my backcourt, I have a problem with it.
Right.
But like that's why when he was, you know, coming in to spell Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and you just had a guy who was instant offense, that's fantastic. That doesn't always translate to a 35-minute starter role. And you need – like his issue is he just never sees a shot he doesn't like. Right?
So the thing about Jordan Poole that's interesting to me, and that he's echoed this, that Joe Dumars has echoed this already, is that he's ready to play whatever role that the Pelicans need him to. With DeJounte Murray missing the start of the year and probably at least half of the season because he suffered that torn Achilles in late January, he's going to miss some time, right? So you're probably going to have Jordan Poole be that starting guard for this team in 2025-26. But when DeJounte comes back, I mean, Jordan Poole could easily be a sixth man on this team. and be, you know, your main bench piece, your main bench scorer, where you have, because you're keeping Trey Murphy and Herb Jones in the starting lineup if they're both healthy. Zion Williamson and Eve Meese are both starters as well. So right off the bat, I think he fills in for DeJounte Murray. But once DeJounte's back, if they end up keeping DeJounte long term, I think that Jordan Poole ends up becoming a bench guy. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he plays right off the bat, because maybe he deserves that starting spot and you move someone else to the bench. So, but just having the options is good. And, you know, the fact that he's already kind of said that he's willing to take whichever role the team needs him to take is also a good thing.
Yeah, I'll say this now, and we don't have to get too deep into it, and we'll find out. But I wouldn't be surprised if Kevon Looney is your starting five, to be completely honest. I think Meese is a guy who's developing, and he's a guy who's going to get a ton of minutes. But I don't necessarily need him in every rotation. I do need a guy who's just going to be physical and rebound in this rotation. But, you know, my question is more so – You don't see a lot in the NBA when you reset the deck in the front office and you keep the head coach. And I think Willie Green kind of got a pass this year because of all the injuries.
Yeah, it was a mulligan.
And because he has a connection with Joe Dumars. He's a Detroit guy. Joe Dumars came up through Detroit. You know, he went to Detroit Mercy. I think Joe wanted to draft him, but he went a few picks earlier. And I think that kind of saved Willie, because I don't know if that season was going to go 48 wins, even if everyone was healthy. I think he kind of lost the locker room a little bit, and the injuries kind of hid that in terms of you're not going to be as penalized for how things went because of those injuries. But I don't know. Like, I went into the season as a really big believer in Willie Green. I came out of the season with a lot of questions, and I don't know what his run is going to be with this team and how far you'd be willing to let it go. But I don't know. Like, I question how, if Joe Dumars is going to be a lot more forceful than a David Griffin was in terms of managing day-to-day operations around the team. That's not always a good thing, but I think in the sense that I want to see Jeremiah Fears play. I want to see Derek Queen play. I hated how they executed that Derek Queen trade, but what it tells you is like, hey, we are being decisive. We are going to get the guys we want, and I don't know if Joe's going to sit back and be like, yeah, yeah, don't play Derek. We'll figure it out next year. It's like, no. If you don't play the rookie that you went up and got, and then you end up in the lottery and you give that pick away, that's gonna reflect terribly. So I don't know. I'm curious. I think the leash is going to be very short on Willie this year.
I agree. And you're entering the year with him on the hot seat. But, you know, if everything that we've been hearing about this Pelicans team throughout the offseason is correct, as Joel Myers had said, that they're closer to a 49-win team than they are the 21-win team, then we'll see what Willie's going to have.
Yeah, but all that means is you're a 32-win team.
That's where their Vegas line is
set.
That's
just the math. Yeah.
Well, that's where their Vegas line is set. And I think that, you know, I would take the over right now, generally speaking. But, you know, the two rookies, going back to your point about them, in the summer league, ahead of all this, the draft picks, we were hearing that Corey Brewer said that they're going to play a ton of minutes, and they both led the team in minutes, 26 minutes, 33 seconds for both of them. The thing that scares you right off the bat is the turnover numbers, 7 for each. I saw a lot of criticism of Derek Queen, especially in the first half, that he wasn't very aggressive. Jeremiah Fears was much more aggressive. But it goes back to what we were saying. This is like, summer league is a guard game. Like, it's okay that Derek Queen didn't take 15 shots.
Right.
Exactly.
It's all wide open. It's, yeah.
The last thing you kind of saw from him was a good note where he hits that three in the fourth quarter, just kind of pulls up for this only shot from the outside. The thing that scares me a little bit about Derek Queen is I think he's offensively advanced. I think that he can contribute right off the bat on that side of the ball. His defense at Maryland was sketchy, to say the least. And that's the one thing about Willie that, throughout the rookies that he has played and the rookies that he hasn't played, if you can play defense, he'll have you on the court. He values that in young players. Derek Queen, at times with the Crab 5 in Maryland, they try to hide him a little bit when he was with the Terrapins. And, you know, that's not the type of player that you expect to get a ton of minutes with Willie's rotation. But at the same time, like you said, with the trade that they made and with the depth chart that the Pelicans currently have, Derek Queen needs to get 20 minutes per game right off the bat for this Pelicans team to not just, quote unquote, justify the trade, but also because he's your backup four right now behind Zion Williamson.
You got to be able to play him at multiple positions, I think, is the key. Like, he's got to be able to be a five for you. He's got to be able to be a four for you. And, you know, he can handle the ball a lot more than a guy like Misi can, obviously.
Yes.
So you can get him involved in different ways. He can be more of a threat in the pick and roll as more than just a lob guy. But no, he's going to get the Marcus Davenport treatment. He is. He just is. Because whenever you give up assets and whenever you make a trade, an aggressive trade, and there is reasonable criticism of, man, I don't know if you thought this through completely, right? Like, one of my bigger questions about, and I won't call it a criticism, it's more of a question about Joe Dumars at this point, is whether he's a little out of touch in terms of how these trades are supposed to be executed. How have these trades gone over the past 5-6 years while you are in the front office doling out discipline rather than, you know, managing a team, right? Like,
I don't
think a lot more like a trade that you would have made in 2014, whereas, like, all these picks now, like, I can't remember the last time I saw a first-round pick just traded like that without some kind of protection on it. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about a top-8 protection. I'm not talking about a top-8 protection. Give me a top-1. You couldn't have sold them on a top-1 protection so that if either your pick or the Bucks pick ends at number 1 overall, you get it? You couldn't sell them on that?
Apparently
to move
not.
To number 14 in the first round? You're not moving up to the top 5. You're moving up to 14. What is there? Like I think Bryson Graham went over to the Hawks and was like, guys, I've got an idea. We can get this done. And the Hawks were like laughing their way to the bank. Yeah, maybe Derek Queen comes out and is a star, but like, you can do that. You can make those moves without being reckless. And to me, that's a reckless decision. It might not burn you, but you've set yourself up for potentially one of the most lopsided trades of all time. And I'm not being hyperbolic
there.
That's
a little hyperbolic.
It's not, though, because one of the only examples of a team giving up the number 1 pick was the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. And it was part of that Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, whatever pick swap. So the Celtics went to the Eastern Conference Finals and picked number 1 overall, traded back, took Jason Tatum. The Sixers took Markelle Fultz. It was kind of hilarious. Joe Dumars was like, hey, I'm big on Markelle Fultz. I'm big on Josh Jackson, low on Jason Tatum in that same draft. So, you know, I think you look at it and say, yeah, this might not go terribly, but you put yourself in a position where you might get the number 1 overall pick next year and won't be able to make that pick. And if that happens, then it is one of the worst trades in NBA history, bar none.
The new lottery system doesn't guarantee a damn thing.
I know it doesn't guarantee it, but you could have guaranteed that wouldn't happen to you, and you didn't.
Who knows if Atlanta makes that trade, if they have the number 1 protection on it. I don't know if they do. I don't know if
they do.
I legitimately do not know if they do. So, you know, maybe it would have been smart for them to say yes, even with a top 4 protection, right? We'll take this trade. But we don't know. They knew. The only thing that they knew was that the Pelicans loved Derek Queen, and they probably had him top 5 or 6 on their board.
They knew the Pelicans loved Derek Queen a lot more than the Pelicans probably wanted them to know.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a Bryson Graham thing. I don't know. But the Hawks got the better end of that deal, no question. And hopefully it works out for the Pels. But until Joe proves otherwise, I'm gonna have that question in my head of like, is he handling this well? So we'll find out. Either way, I'm a big Derek Queen fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not a big lopsided trade fan.
You said your piece. Well, listen, nobody knows. That's the issue. Nobody knows what that pick's going to be.
I know.
If it's 15 or if it's 1, right? It's a completely different conversation.
But I do know the
Pels
won't
chooses
get it.
What?
I do know the Pels won't get it.
Won't get what? Their pick?
Yeah. All right. Let's hit the break here. We'll come back. We got a long time left here on Sports Talk and no phone line. So you're going to be hearing a lot more of this. I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Colin Steele taking you up till 8 p.m. Stick around. Rolling back in here on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long taking you up till 8 p.m. here on WWL. You know, some NBA news that broke last night, and you know, the numbers are just kind of blowing me away when I see it. The Phoenix Suns, who, you know, are in the process of trying to buy out Bradley Beal and survive their salary cap issues, they signed guard Devin Booker to a 2-year, $145 million maximum contract extension. That's $72.5 million a year, which is an insane number to think about. And so, you know, my question for you, Charlie, is this: Are there any players on the current Pelicans roster who you would think they should be looking at and saying, we want to sign this guy to a massive extension in that range, right?
70-plus million?
Well, I mean, not necessarily 70 million, right? Because that's a
no.
That's an all-NBA-type contract,
no.
Right?
No.
But, like, let me rephrase.
Sure.
Who on the Pelicans would you be looking at and saying, this is the next big money extension that they should be trying to hammer out? Like, obviously, we're not talking, some guys, Zion's under contract till the 2028-29 season. DeJounte Murray, same thing. Herb Jones is under contract to 2027-28.
Right, that's the issue, is that a lot of their starters are under contract. And, with it pertaining to Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, under good contracts.
Yeah,
so I think they're okay with where they are now. Like, Zion has to prove it to me, but he's the player of that caliber on this Pelicans roster. And once again, you have Trey Murphy on a good contract, given a lot of the contracts that you've seen handed out over the past couple off seasons. I think he's, 4 for 112? I'll have to double-check that number for Trey Murphy. But
yes.
It's under $30 million average annual value for a player that's ascending. And if Trey Murphy makes the All-Star leap this upcoming year, like, people are hoping that he does, that is a very, very valuable contract for the next four seasons before you have to extend him again. Herb Jones is on an even cheaper deal that he's on for, I think, the next couple of years, where it's basically paying him, what is it, Jeff, about
13 and 14 each of the next 2 years. He's under contract through 2026, 2027.
For a guy that was a first-team All-NBA defender when he was healthy.
I think if that's probably the answer. Like, if you're looking for a guy that, deserves an extension, it's going to be Herb. The problem is Herb's coming off that season where he was
injured.
Hurt,
yeah.
Right? And you traded away Brandon Ingram. He was the guy that you were talking about for multiple offseasons saying, can they sort something out? Can they sort something out? They didn't. I think if Herb comes back and plays at an all-defensive level this next season, stays healthy, kicks the shoulder issues that he was dealing with, I think prior to next year, he's the guy that you're like, we want to either trade him or lock him up.
Yeah, I would agree. And so as far as, the Pelicans roster goes, that was one of the last good things that David Griffin did with the Pelicans was not something that he didn't do, was not hand the extension to Brandon Ingram that he was looking for. B.I., I think, got paid 4 for 120, if I'm not mistaken, from Toronto. Or no, sorry, it was 3 for 120. It was like a $40 million average annual value for Brandon Ingram. And B.I. is a good player. But then you see some of these other contracts that are handed out throughout the offseason where Naz Reid's getting like 25, Miles Turner's getting like 20, 23, like just generally in that same category. Julius Randle, I think, gets a little bit over 30 from Minnesota. And then you got B.I. make it 40.
That's too much.
Raptors have spent a lot of money on a roster that you're looking at even the Eastern Conference and saying, is this a top 10 seed in the East? And that's kind of the issue with them. And so David Griffin not paying Brandon Ingram, getting the trade where you move on from him, he goes to Toronto, and he signs that extension there, and the Raptors are the team that ends up paying him. And from Toronto's perspective, I know that people have talked about it, it's hard to get free agents to go to Toronto, go to Canada. So they basically viewed B.I. as their kind of premium free agent asset by making that trade for him and then extending him. But still, $40 million for B.I. over the next few years is pretty pricey, especially when you compare it to some of the other contracts that have been signed this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick between Trey at whatever it is, so in 2028-29, the final year of that contract, he's going to be making $31 million.
Sure.
Right? If I had to pick between, what was it, a four-year 112 for Trey or a three-year 120 for B.I. or even a three-year 120 for both, I'm probably taking Trey.
I'm right there with you.
Right?
I like Trey a lot. And I think that he just turned 25 years old, by the way. And if he makes that All-Star leap this year, which he kind of came close to doing this past season, the injuries derailed it a little bit. He didn't play as many games. But, if he stays healthy this upcoming season, which is the major if for all these Pelican players, I love Trey Murphy's projection. I like the way that he is trending right now. And the contract that the Pelicans were able to sign him on, it's a team-friendly deal. So, I just like him as a future asset for this roster more than I would like someone like Brandon Ingram at a more expensive price.
You know what I want to see Trey do more is shoot off the dribble. Right, I want to see Trey be able to go to get in the pick and roll and shoot from behind a screen
a little bit as a three level scorer this past year. He made kind of the step there, But there's more improvement to be had with Trey Murphy. And to be fair, there's more room for him to grow. And I think he understands that as well. Like, what is the progression? Oh, you got to improve a little bit on defense because you have the length to be a really good defender, but you haven't shown to be an elite defender at the NBA level. You know, the dribbling, like you mentioned, being able to, you know, take a defender off the dribble and score anywhere on the court. That's the next kind of step in his progression. So looking forward from Trey Murphy, but at the same time, all accounts, the kid's got a great work ethic, great personality, someone that's going to put in the work in the offseason to improve. And it's a good thing that the Pelicans have him locked down long term.
And it doesn't hurt that, you know, you make like 50 free throws in a row at one point.
Yeah.
Like, it does not
miss. It was more than that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I want to say it was getting close to historic territory.
Yeah. I lost track, but it was something silly.
I want to say it was around 80. Let me double check.
It may have been. But no, I really like Trey. And, you know, one of the reasons I like him in this kind of setup more than I like B.I. is B.I.'s shot profile just always just frustrated me to no end because, you know, there's a point where your entire offensive game is taking the shots the defense wants you to take, which is like, yeah, you can make these shots, and these shots are valuable in the playoffs, but it's tough to win in the regular season when you're trying to make your living on contested, you know, 18-footers. And that's what, you know, and that's why I always kind of felt like Ingram, as frustrating as he could be to watch at times, if you put him in a playoff scenario, when we did see it a little bit against the Suns in that series, they took him to six. Like, the thing about Ingram is that he's going to get the same shots in the regular season as he's going to get in the playoffs. The difference is you're not getting those easy, wide-open shots in the playoffs that some guys make their living on in the regular season. So I think if Ingram can ever be a part of a team that's going to make a deep playoff run, he could be a huge asset. Same way Kevin Durant was such a huge asset for the Warriors when they added him, because he added a piece to that offense that you just could not defend. I don't know if Trey has that, but I just think from an analytical perspective, his game suits them a lot better. And yeah, we're talking a lot about the NBA. I do want to get more into Saints. I have a list. I came up with a maybe it's controversial, maybe it's not, of you know, the top five players on the Saints right now.
Hit me.
And I think we can hold
we'll
off
it.
On it. Yeah,
okay.
I don't. It's going to be a longer segment.
All right, that's
but
it.
Let me know what your list is. If you can shoot us a text to 504-260-1870. Who do you think are the top three or five players from a talent perspective on the Saints roster right now? Because for a long time we could say, yeah, it's easy. It's Drew Brees, Mike Thomas, it's whoever. Alvin Kamara's turning 30.
It's funny. I remember the days where the Saints were getting five players on the NFL's top 100 list.
Yeah. Now they're getting like DeMario and that's it.
Yeah.
And even he, I don't think they got a single player on that list last year,
which
is kind of crazy. And there's one player in particular. He's at the top of my list that I think it'll be somewhat of a controversial opinion, but I think he should be on there, and he's just getting a little disrespected right now. So there's a lot more to talk about. I do want to talk more about the Saints the rest of the show. We got a lot of time left. There's like more than 2 hours. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. So hit us up with your takes. Let us know what you want to talk about. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele. Keep it locked on WWE.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, rolling back in here on Sports Talk. Got a lot of texts in here. We got some responses to the question. So I think in the 6 o'clock hour, since we're not taking calls at this point, we will go through that list and really dive in and come up with a good one. Come up with a definitive list for this radio station on who the top five Saints players are on both sides of the ball. And we'll go through some of these texts too and dive in. But you know, Charlie. You know, I think it's a good question in terms of, you know, where does this team, like, who are some of the players? You mentioned that the Saints don't have any players in the top 100, or at least they didn't have any players in the top 100 last year. Who are some of the players that you think in 3 to 4 seasons could get into that list? Because I think that's, like, it's easy to look at and say, I don't have anybody, but, you know, They didn't have anybody until they did, right? Like Lattimore, you know, he got in there right away. Alvin got in there right away. You had that 2017 class that was like, okay, these are all in there. And that's what made it so good. But like usually it takes a couple years and you develop. So, and you just mentioned one, but yeah, give me a couple of names. We'll talk about it.
Talia Seifuanga. That is the one that I am the most confident in as far as being a legitimate NFL top 100 player. He had a great rookie year at left tackle. You know, after being a right tackle at Oregon State for this entire time, switching over to left tackle, but then now he's going back to his natural position with the team drafting Kelvin Banks. In all likelihood, we don't know that for certain, but that's what we kind of saw throughout the mini camp and OTAs and everything like that. So it's what we're expecting to see at training camp. It's what we're expecting to see throughout the regular season. Talia Seifuanga, his projection as a legitimate right tackle for the Saints for the future, someone that had a great rookie campaign. If you're talking about a few years down the line, because right off the bat, if we're just saying, you know, if any of the Saints are going to make the top 100 this upcoming year, you think of Eric McCoy, right? You think of Alvin Kamara, yep, right? The guys that are going to contribute immediately and be potential top 100 type of players. But maybe more long-term looking ahead, Fuaga is definitely the one that I feel the most confident in.
All right. You know, and as Cullen just reminded me, this is our triple option segment. So we're going to pretend that was yours. Does that sound good
I
to you, Charlie?
I do have a triple option, though.
So all right. Then we won't pretend that was yours.
We'll kind of combine it for yours then. Jeff, yeah. Who is the one that you're most confident in?
The one that I'm most confident in. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be Brzee.
Okay.
You know, and I have a lot of things to say about Brian Brzee. I think we're only scratching the surface of how good Brian Brzee can actually be. And because you're talking about a guy who led the team in sacks last year in a scheme that was not even designed for him to get after the quarterback. Like, it was a scheme that asked him to play the run, and he was still getting up there. Like, he was just doing that all on natural ability. You know, he's got to get better against the run, but I think he's going to have so many opportunities in Brandon Staley's scheme. I think he's going to be a star. And, you know, you don't see a lot of defensive tackles blocking field goals right? Like, he won the Saints a game because he is just an athlete that can do things that guys at his size and weight should not be able to do.
The cool thing about Percy is I don't think he's a nose tackle either. So he's going to be a 3-4 defensive end,
yeah.
Right? So he's going to have maybe a little bit of different roles under Brandon Staley's defense, which is a new look for him, and hopefully it even kind of adds to the amount of sacks that he can get off the defensive line. So, Kellen, when you're titling this for triple option, you can go with the young Saints for the first one. Jeff and Charlie share, you know, the two young players that they're most confident in on the Saints roster. Both in the trenches, though, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Taliese Fuaga, yes. And Brian Bercy. I like that pick.
All right, let's go to yours.
Real quick, I got Derek Queen. Will Guillory from The Athletic, friend of the program, had this. You know, Derek Queen, I was looking a little bit through Twitter. You know, I was watching most of the game, so... I went and saw it later on. When I was watching the first half specifically, I'm like, oh, Derek Queen's not being super active. That's okay. Now he had a bunch of turnovers in the first half. He was getting slammed on Pelicans Twitter. And so Will Guillory posts this. He was speaking with Derek Queen, and he said he's looking forward to his second summer league game, saying, quote, just looking for redemption. I've got to redeem myself. I know I've got 82 games, but I know Twitter and probably Instagram are going crazy right now. I've just got to redeem myself for me and to quiet all the outside noise. I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it, because maybe Derek Queen's catching a lot of heat on Twitter and Instagram right now, but I don't think he had that bad of a first game with a double-double.
No.
I mean, the turnovers were there. He wasn't necessarily aggressive, but like, once again, as we've talked about with the summer league, this is a guards game. It's not really a big man's game. You're expecting maybe Jeremiah Thiers to show up early and often, and he did. He had a pretty solid performance in his first summer league game. He showed some flashes there, but as far as, you know, the big man, like, I'm not too surprised that Derek Queen wasn't ultra aggressive in his first half of playing summer league basketball. I think he'll be fine. Everybody relax. The people that are freaking out about it already, it's summer league. It's the same thing that we always do with like off-season workouts in the NFL and off-season camps. Do not overreact to this stuff.
Sorry,
just
shouldn't
do not.
Freak out about Cam Jordan being slow around a hula hoop.
Just do not overreact to silly stuff like that.
Good idea. I thought Derek looked fine. He looked like a young player in his...
Yeah, sure.
You know, and keep in mind, like, you're not... It's like the preseason in the NFL. Like, you're not installing plays and packages.
No.
Like, you're just going out there and play. This is like basketball at the Y. Like, you're going out there and saying, like, okay, let's see what we can do. You got a pick and roll in your bag? Let's try that out. Okay, let's... Anyway. Weave! We got a lot going on. But all right, Cullen, you're up next.
I will be overreacting.
Okay.
But I will not be overreacting to something back home. I'll be overreacting to the Thunder earlier today, signing an all-star and a champion, Jalen Williams, to a 5-year maximum rookie contract extension that could reach $287 million. And I was going to crunch the numbers. Schefter beat me to it on my drive-in. Yes, that's Schefter.
You were going to report it out.
I was going to do it. I was going to break the news first. That
a Cullen bomb.
The OKC Thunder, with their big three, SGA, Chet, and Jalen, will now have them under contract for up to $822 million.
Okay.
Which is unbelievable. I know they've got some finagling with like $77 million. I've read in non-guaranteed money that they can try to get under the second apron. I think they're 25, 26 cap right now on payroll is like 246. So they're blowing past every apron imaginable. But almost, you know, 80% of $1 billion in three guys. That's the new big three.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think teams care a whole lot less about paying that much money when they're winning titles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the Suns wouldn't be nearly as upset as they are if they were like making the playoffs and stuff. But like when you don't win titles, when you're in Boston's situation, right, and you have all that money tied up in a player that's not going to play next year, that's when you get into big trouble. So, you know, they're investing now in being a dynasty is what they're doing. And they have a legitimate potential to do it in a way that the Celtics, you know, kind of felt like they did, but, you know, a little older, right? Like the Thunder's players, I mean, these are all kids.
Yeah,
they're younger than the Auburn roster was last year. So
Bobby Marks has a great point about this from ESPN, the front office expert, that the Thunder, he says, quote, the Thunder have resources to be sustainable for the foreseeable future, 14 firsts in the next 7 years, including a perennial four in 2026, a potential four in 2026. And talking about the projected payroll for 2026-27, a projected payroll of $246 million. But at the same time, they've kind of locked down their big three. And I think they're going to maneuver around that. Like, some of the pieces around the edges may be moved on from, and then they'll use, you know, those first round picks that they still have in the bucket to kind of supplement the roster around those three players. But obviously, Sam Presti and the OKC Thunder, they won the championship. They wanted to make sure that they got all three of those guys locked down long term. I think it's a good decision for them. It's a matter of making sure that they keep drafting well and bringing in good young talent to kind of, and cheap talent for that matter, to be able to fill out their roster around those three players.
Yeah, no question. And it's like you weren't letting any of those guys go. Like, you're keeping that together. But all right, that's going to wrap it up for this today's triple option feature. I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. here on Sports Talk. Keep it locked on the big 870 WWL. Don't forget you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. Listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app and follow Bobby Hebert. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want, how you want. That goes for this show and any of the WWL shows you love. Download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or just tell your smart speaker to play WWL. I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele. We're going to hit the top of the hour news, come back, and we're going to get into our top five. We're going to look at what we got on the text line. We're talking about top five Saints on the current team. Who's the best? Let's talk about it. All right. Again, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele. Keep it locked on WWL.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, 2 hours down, two to go on Sports Talk, live on WWLAMFM.com. And always free on the Odyssey app. I'm Jeff Nowak alongside Charlie Long. We're filling in for Steve Geller, Cullen Steele at Master Control. And as we teased going in to the break, we're going to spend this hour talking about the Saints, talking about the top five Saints. Who are your top five ranked players on the 2025 roster. Last hour, we talked about, okay, which players do you think could develop into a top 100 player down the road? This is more of an immediate question.
Sure.
Who is the top five players right now? So, Cullen, you said you came up with a list. Let's hear your list, and I'll just that way I can tell you how you're wrong, and we can continue. Yeah.
No. I'm probably wrong. I took a big swing on one of these. I took a big swing on two of these. So someone on the text line does agree with me on one.
Is it Blake Groupie?
It is Blake Groupie.
We did get a text. We did get a text in 5531. Number five on that list was Blake Groupie. Let me read this list, then we'll go to yours.
Okay.
So they have, I don't know if this was a joke, but the rest of it seems serious. So maybe they're just a big Blake Groupie fan. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big Blake Groupie fan.
They would not be alone.
Yeah.
I'm right here.
The Lilliputian king who can hit 50 yarders in ways that I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. So little, but he can get so far. Anyway, so he has Blake Groupie at number five, Taliese Fuaga at number four, Justin Reed at number three, which is an interesting choice, Demario Davis at number two, Eric McCoy at number one. So, you know, I think that's a solid list. I think people would argue with number five, but Cullen, let's see, what's your list?
I didn't rank them.
Okay.
Well, maybe I should have.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Let me do that now. Then, as I'm right. Doling them out.
Well, since Cullen did not understand the assignment fully,
I'm ready.
Give him a minute. We'll give him a minute.
I'm good to go.
And then we'll come back to it.
Well, we can circle back if you want.
Do you have them? Were you ready to rank them that fast?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got three offense, one special teams, kind of spoiled, and then one defense.
All right. Let's do it.
So we're gonna start with AK, Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
At number one. Okay.
We're going 1 to 5.
One to five. Okay. 1 to 5, yes.
Okay.
Which means if you're fifth, I love you, but you're not one.
Okay.
Alvin would be in my top five, too.
He's in my top five. He's not my number one.
AK's
number
one.
Yeah.
I would say Fuaga's two.
Okay.
I would say I'd say Granderson three.
Granderson?
Carl Granderson. Okay.
It's an interesting choice. Why? Give me your reason.
I like Carl.
I feel like you have to have somebody on this defensive end, and on this defensive line, and for me, it's him. I think you have to have somebody on the defensive line, and I think it's got to be.
I put Chase Young higher, but okay.
Really? See, I was tossing internally. I didn't sleep well because of this. Like
this thing that we decided 5 minutes ago.
Right.
But I was kind of torn, and I went with the guys. And I'm like, man, if I do Young, maybe Jeff might rip into me.
What's your basis? Are you going by like production? Are you going by talent? Like, what are you basing on?
I think it's like anything. A contract would be. It's future expectations based off of previous production.
Okay.
That's kind of my idea of where I'm ranking these, not just for Granderson.
I mean, there's no wrong answers, so okay, go ahead.
Okay, and then so that's my first three. It's AK, Fuaga, Granderson, Shahid Groupie.
Shahid, you really got Groupie on there.
You think I was lying?
I'm impressed.
I like Blake Groupie.
I think most people wouldn't go for Blake.
Honorable mention for you two.
I've been banging the Blake Groupie drum for 2 years now because I think, you know, for whatever reason, it's just tough to get excited about him because he's kind of this ho-hum guy. He kicks the straightest kicks I have seen a place kicker make. Like, it's remarkable how he's able to do it because, like, I watched Charlie Smith out there, and he's got this, like, high draw. It's like a golfer, you know?
He's tall. He's a completely different build.
This natural draw. But then you see Blake out there, and it's just every kick is just straight as an arrow. It's amazing to watch, but anyway, I'm impressed. Most people don't give love to the kickers. We got some kicker love going on.
I like that. I won't have Blake Groupie on my top five. Sorry, Cullen. But
I will say one more thing on Blake. The most 50-yard makes in a single season in Saints history last year. He made six of them.
There you go. I like Blake Groupie. I really do. He's on the outside looking in for me. And my kind of thing when I'm looking at the Saints depth chart, I'm looking at their roster, is do I want to do four players on offense and one on defense or three and two? I kind of go back and forth. I think for me, number one, well, Jeff, let's share our number ones right off the bat. It's Eric McCoy for me.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
So after that, it becomes a little bit more interesting. Alvin, I think, still has plenty left in the tank. He would be in my top five. So Eric McCoy is the number one, and then it becomes how much do you love Chris Olave? You know, Alvin Kamara should be in the top five, but then you're talking about, you know, as Cullen had mentioned there, Taliese Fuaga, I think, is your second best offensive lineman behind McCoy. And then defensively, maybe this is a hot take, I'm buying all the stock in Alante Taylor.
Okay.
And he would be in my top five looking ahead. Just hearing him talk about how Brendan Staley is planning on using him, he kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit there, in the same way that he used Jalen Ramsey with the Rams, working inside and out. on a 3-4 defense. I think he is going to be unbelievably important to the Saints secondary. I like Justin Reed to that texter that I put that in there. But if I'm taking any player from the Saints secondary, I am buying stock in Alante Taylor. Now, if I'm taking a second defensive player, DeMario Davis has had all the production in the world. Looking ahead to the 2025-26 Saints, though, you like Brissy, and I like Brissy as well. So I would probably say him if I'm taking two defensive players. However, I think if I'm taking just the top five, I would, in no order after McCoy, Kamara, Olave, Fuaga, Alante Taylor for me.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I have Brissy on my list. You know, and you can quibble. Eric McCoy's at the top. Like, Eric McCoy,
I agree.
From a talent perspective, from an impact perspective.
You know, we had a conversation about this, and I'm going to cut you off just for a second, that we went through multiple Saints players under the age of, I think, 28 was the cutoff.
Sure.
How many teams would they start on every team? Would they start on most teams? Would they be just a starter for the Saints squad? And Mike and I went through that exercise a couple months ago. And Eric McCoy is someone that would start on every single team in the NFL. If not at center, then at guard. He would have a spot. So I don't think it's really a question that he would be the number one option here.
All right. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. And the rest of my list, Brian Brissy, Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, DeMario Davis. I still think DeMario Davis is one of the top five players on this
sure.
on this team.
He's so, kind of on the outside looking in for me.
Yeah, I mean, and it's easy to just kind of be like, oh, he's getting older. Sure. I don't know. Like, I watched DeMario, and I still see the same DeMario that I saw 2-3 years ago. Like, I don't see the drop-off. Now, you know, is he going to keep getting better? Probably not. Is he going to keep getting – is he improving? No. I don't see the fall-off. I think he's just going to continue to be at this baseline until he decides, I don't want to play anymore.
And once again, it's just a matter of how many players on defense you want to take it versus how many players on offense. I ended up with 4 on offense and 1 on defense. And it's just me buying stock in Alante Taylor. The defensive line, I would be buying stock in Brissy. The linebacker core is a little bit different because DeMario is still extraordinarily productive, but he is getting up there in age, and we don't know exactly how he's going to look this upcoming year. So I'm a little bit hesitant to put him on the top five if we're just talking about looking ahead to this upcoming season. But yeah, I mean, you're buying some stock into some of these young players, but the guys already at the top for me are the ones that have been fantastic, that you're still expecting to be fantastic, that even if they're kind of on the back end of their prime, that are still in their prime, like a McCoy and like a Kamara.
Yeah. And I think Fuaga for me kind of lands on that list as I am very optimistic that he is in this top five after next year. I need to see him play on the right side. I need to see him continue to take steps forward. Justin Reed's an interesting one. I'd like to see him play first in the Saints system before I kind of land him there. Tyrann Mathieu is there as well. We did have someone saying, you guys are forgetting about JT Gray, multiple All-Pros. Yeah, it's tough because JT
Special
Gray
teams.
Is elite at what he does.
Sure.
And so does that put you in the top five of the whole team? You can make that argument about Blake Groupe. Like, what's the impact if you're a kicker versus like, I need a linebacker. I need someone at every position. But no, it's a good point. We should mention JT Gray.
Could be the argument for Rashid Shaheed too.
Yes, Cullen did mention Rashid Shaheed. You know, and the dual impact. You know, it's the more you talk about the players, the more I start to like this roster. And maybe I'm just being a homer, but like, I think there's some really good young talented players in this team, and you just need the development, and the development hasn't been there over the last few years.
Yeah. As a lot of the pieces that we've talked about, like the Taliese Fuagas, like the Brian Brissy's, like the Alante Taylors, are still very, very early in their careers. Chris Olave, even that one of the names I threw there that would kind of squeeze in on the back of my list. A lot of young talent that, you know, still the best is yet to come type of thing.
No question. All right. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele on WWL. We're going to hit over to traffic and then come back. Stick around. All right. Coming back in on WWL programming update. We will be hopping off at 6:30, as your listeners probably aware. Some technical difficulties. Got to get some stuff worked on. So we'll be handing it over to the Infinity Sports Network. But we got a couple more minutes here. Charlie, I know you have some thoughts on the upcoming MLB draft this weekend.
Yeah,
LSU got some players in there. Let's hear it.
I'm a little bit upset that we're not going to be speaking with Kendall Rogers tonight. We spoke with Aaron Fitt, the co-editor of D1 Baseball, the other day, and he had some really, really good stuff about LSU's top prospects. picks in the upcoming draft. So the MLB draft starts this Sunday, and it will go into Monday. It's a little bit different than other drafts because, you know, the first round is going to be 43 selections for 30 teams. They have competitive balance picks. They have compensation picks. And then you have 43 first-round picks. All in all, the first night of the MLB draft is going to be 105 selections. It's the first three rounds. And then on Monday, the second day of the draft, they go from rounds 4 through 20. So generally speaking, you're going to hear a lot of not just, you know, LSU recruits, but former LSU Tigers that helped win this eighth national championship on the 2025 squad get selected on that night one of the draft. And the very first one could be the number one overall pick, Jeff. And we've talked a lot about this throughout the week. Cade Anderson, right? The left-handed southpaw ace for LSU and their national championship winning squad. He's the number two ranked prospect via MLB.com behind Ethan Holliday, the son of Matt Holliday, the shortstop slash third baseman prospect out of Oklahoma, high school player. And the Washington Nationals own the first overall pick. And it's going to be very, very fascinating to see on Sunday night, do they decide to go with the high school player with maybe the quote-unquote higher ceiling, or do they go with the more MLB-ready player with Cade Anderson, who's 21 years old, spent a couple of years in college as a draft-eligible sophomore, and see if they what they decide to do with that number one overall pick. The fascinating thing about with the Nationals is they fired both their GM and their bench coach within the past week, right before the draft, which you never see in professional sports. But
because it's midseason.
Exactly.
Right.
So they fired Mike Rizzo, who was their GM. And now people are wondering, you know, who's going to be making this decision? Apparently, it's going to be the interim GM, who was the assistant GM for the Washington Nationals. So we'll see what they decide to do. The kind of knock on Cade Anderson is that people, some scouts view him as like a high floor, low ceiling type of player. I disagree.
It's because he doesn't have the velocity, probably.
Well, that's the thing, is that he's still young. He can still kind of build strength early on in his MLB career. I think he'll be a great player at the MLB level, and he has ace potential at the MLB level. I think he should be the number one overall pick. Other players that could be selected on night one, Anthony Ianson, I think is a first-round pick. I know that MLB.com has him ranked as the 40th overall prospect. Once again, there's 43 first-round picks in the draft, and I think he's going to go somewhere in that range from picks 20 to 40. I know that we talked with Aaron Fitt about that as well. A little bit further down the line, this is where it gets interesting. Chase Shores is the number 77 ranked prospect via MLB.com. And then Daniel Dickinson, the second baseman, is the number 80 ranked prospect via MLB.com. I think both of those guys will be selected on night one, although Chase Shores is one to watch. And then further down the list, Ethan Frye at 119. He could go a little bit higher than this, but if not, I would expect him to be a very, very pick, early pick on day two. Same thing with Jared Jones, the first baseman out of LSU. So those are the guys that I'm keeping an eye on early on in the 2025 draft.
Go Tigers. All right, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele signing off. Who dat? Thanks, y'all.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.